This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now, let me repeat. You get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. Is trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report, and here's my episode.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
There are those who call Europe post-Christian. Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and today I'm going to give you a report from Europe that shows why there's still a great deal of spiritual darkness in that great continent, that something is happening spiritually. I recently talked and interviewed Rodney Howard Brown, my longtime friend, and I'll call him an evangelist, but he's also a pastor of the River Church in Tampa, Florida, which I've attended many times. And he recently got back from Europe. He had a campaign, I'll call it, called Europe Ablaze. He started a trip in November, went to 16 cities, did another trip in February, went to 10 cities, and then in March and April, went to 17 more. And it was just so much that I broke it into a couple of shorter podcasts, and we're going to talk about him visiting these cities, often one a day, and what happened in each place. He started off in Stockholm, Sweden, and then gives some very, very interesting insight into what's happening in Budapest, Hungary, and tells you some surprising things about George Soros, things that you won't hear anywhere else. Here's my interview with Rodney.
I felt to do one night upper room meetings in churches across Europe. So I've got another trip to make, and then I would have touched every country in Europe. We're even going to Gibraltar, Monaco, Liechtenstein, Bosnia-Herzegovina, all the other places that I could not get to on this last three trips. Plus, I mean, we're even going to the Hebrides. We're going to go to the Hebrides, the Isle of Wight. One local church in each place that's an upper room even wasn't worried about the crowd. If it's more than 120, I'm happy. That's what was in the upper room. And we start the services, probably 15 minutes of praise and worship. I play about a 12-minute video. We do a 3-minute offering just on the video. Eric jumps up, receives the offering. I have two people sing, and I get right into the message. And I preach really on salvation, recommitment, and then the upper room. And then the purpose to mobilize everybody for souls. I give an altar call, and then I pray for the fire, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then basically find out how many of you will say, I'll spend the rest of my days winning souls, and we give them all the tools to win souls, and we talk about how people can reach into the government, into their businesses, into schools, universities, you know, basically mobilizing everybody for the harvest. And the service is kind of done, like about 10:30. And then in the morning, before I fly out, I meet with pastors from 8 to 10 at breakfast. They come to breakfast with me, and then we go to the next city, and that's how it's been going. I've really been so encouraged. What I saw in Europe, when you watch the news media, you think Europe is kind of finished. But there's an army, there's like a groundswell across Europe of a move of God that's going to sweep Europe. I was so encouraged, like really, really encouraged.
So I wanted to ask you about your motivation. Was it because you saw or reflected how desperate things are in Europe, or were you beginning to pick up that something was happening and you felt called to the Lord to try to, I'm going to say, pour gasoline on it and try to help the fire to spread?
No, actual fact, I've only found that out since I've done the 43 cities. What started me on this was I felt that the message of Pentecost is basically being neutralized. A lot of the super sensitive stuff going on and the, you know, 1 hour or 90 minute services that the churches are doing. And I felt that the Lord wanted me to run with the message of Pentecost to 300 cities of the world between now and the end of 2020. So we've already covered 79 cities so far, because a lot of the others have been across America. And I've got an Asia trip in September. I have Australasia for February next year. But by the end of next year, we would have covered 300 cities of the world. One night, upper room, and that's what I felt to do. It was only as I begin to travel across Europe that I begin to see, wow, look what the Lord is doing.
Well, we've covered some of this in Charisma Magazine, mainly where there's an evangelistic thrust, or there have been several crusades in stadiums which have drawn thousands, which, you know, is just stunning, you know, something that was unexpected.
That's happening right now with guys that are doing that across Europe, one-night stadium events. I mean, obviously I know who they are, and what's happening is pretty phenomenal.
Rodney, you just gotten back from Europe. 43 cities. It's way too much to talk about in just one podcast. So is there a logical way that you could break it down? Did you see differences in the different parts of Europe, such as the United Kingdom or Western Europe, or you went as far as the Ukraine and Latvia and so forth? So just break it down for me and what you saw when you had this. Actually, it was three trips. So maybe we could start with trip number one that you did in November with 16 cities.
All right. The first trip in November was an eye-opener for me, because obviously, you know, I've done a lot of work in Europe over the years, but in recent years had not, I mean, apart from places like Finland and Holland, where we'd been in and done some week meetings, I really felt an urgency to just run to churches and do one night upper room meetings. So when we started in Stockholm, a key church there, they've been there since 1980. I mean, phenomenal what this ministry has done there in Sweden. Of course, you know, the upheaval in the nation of Sweden at this time. But the Swedes are so hungry and they want to reach their country. They realize that they're in major problems there. From there on to Norway, to Oslo, which we were in Vestfossen, which was the site of a revival that took place in the 1700s that actually impacted the whole of Norway. The minister was so powerful that they actually arrested him, put him in prison, but he built all the factories for the whole of Norway, started the education system, and so it was a very strategic meeting. From there up north to Alta, to the Sami people, they follow the reindeer, which is the tribal people of the Arctic in Lapland, in that region, which I'd wanted to go there for many years to give an idea. One lady, because I'm on television across Scandinavia, and she heard I wanted coming to the Sami people, she waited 10 years to cook a meal for myself and the team, and she drove 2 hours to bring it. It was smoked reindeer with special bread and a yellow berry that only grows there, and so she fed us at midnight, and I don't normally eat at midnight. She said, I know you don't normally eat. I said, lady, tonight I'll eat anything you put in front of me. And she had tears in her eyes. She fed us. It was an amazing meal. And they were mobilized. They promised. They said, we're going to carry this fire to the villages of the Sami people across the northern part of Lapland. Then down to Helsinki, which we have a church there already in a Bible school, but it was just the Finns, what blew me away was the people from the government that came to the meetings, politicians and members of parliament in the Finnish government that came to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I met with them privately before the service, and they have a vision to see Finland shaken by the fire of God. You know, these are believers inside the government of Finland. Then from there, we went to Bratislava, which that blew me away. I did not expect to see what we saw there. It was a coming together, really 50 churches, because I'd originally asked just for church venues, but they said there was too many people coming. So we packed this arena with, and a lot of these meetings are like 2-3 weeks notice. You know, we pull these things together. The power of God hit that place. They told me that they'd all been touched in the meetings in 1998 when I had been in Budapest, Hungary, with my friend Sandor Nemeth, who has one of the largest churches in Europe. Amazing, amazing man of God. So anyway, so we get to the meeting. It's in this arena, and behind the podium, they had like this tent set up where we could meet with the different pastors coming in. And the head pastor over the 50 churches that were in Slovakia, Bratislava, Slovakia, because there's two countries, there's Czech Republic and then Slovakia. And he said to me, Pastor Sandor Nemeth had sent his son-in-law to come and meet with me because we were there 20 years ago in Budapest, which I didn't realize Budapest was only a two-hour ride from Bratislava. Anyway, so he greeted us. He brought some gifts for Adonik and myself and greeted us. And I went to the service and I was sitting there listening to the main pastor talk before he invited us up. So we were listening through an interpreter. And Pastor Eric Gagnon, my right hand, walked up to me. He said, listen, Pastor Sandor just texted his son-in-law and said, would you come to Budapest tomorrow night? So the way I scheduled this, I scheduled that we'd go Sunday night to Friday night. Then Saturday we would rest. We could do all our laundry and give the team time to sleep in. And then Sunday we'd rest. And then Sunday night we'd start again. And basically, just to give a little bit of a break. Otherwise, it's just a constant movement of, you know, when you're moving nine people around, you got to try to pace them. So Pastor Eric said, Pastor Sandor said, will you come tomorrow night to Budapest? Well, when he said that, I knew that's our night off gone. But as he said that, the power of God hit me and I heard the audible voice of the Lord. And the Lord said, go and strengthen Sandor. I did not know what he was going through at that time. I'd lost being in that church 20 years before. So when I heard the audible voice of the Lord, I began to weep uncontrollably. I actually thought, I don't even know how I'm going to get up and address these people tonight. I was that overwhelmed by the power of the word of the Lord that hit me like a sledgehammer. You have to go to Budapest. Which, when we were setting up the tour, my guy said to me, do you want to go to Pastor Sandor? I said, no, let's go to new places. You know, I've got to go to new places. So that's why we never even put him on schedule. So then that night service, the power of God hit that place. We had over 1,300 in the altar call, and then the fire hit. It looked like tornadoes. If you actually see the video, we have video footage of it. When I was just walking through the crowd, it looked like tornadoes were picking up whole groups of people and just, it was like, it's hard to describe, to even put into words, especially for a listener to understand, but it was like a rushing mighty wind in that arena that night in Bratislava. So I was on the platform and I said to Pastor Eric, I said, listen, you and me are going to drive to Budapest tonight with Sandor's son-in-law, and then we can rest there, let the team come through tomorrow, and my laundry had already been done, and so I don't need to do any of that stuff. So we went after the service, got into Budapest probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, went to sleep. I had a good 7 hours of sleep. I got up, and of course, Pastor Sandor came to the hotel to have an early lunch with me because the night service was at 5 o'clock in the evening. And when he arrived, he said, look, I have to tell you what happened to me last night. So I said, well, I know what happened to me. I said, the Lord spoke to me in no uncertain terms that I was supposed to come here. He said, well, I was in my office. And he said, I was praying. And he said, the presence of God filled my office. And he said, I heard a voice. And the voice said, look up. And he said, I looked up. And he said, to the left of me was an angel of the Lord that was standing there. And he said, the angel said to me, call Rodney Howe Brown to tell him to come to Budapest tomorrow night. So when he told me that, I began to weep again. First of all, I was very humbled that an angel would even mention my name. I thought that, are you kidding me? An angel talked about me. Then the second thing, I thought, I'm an angel working for my ministry. I mean, shouldn't I be paying him? Like maybe like thanking him? And then the third thing, I got upset that the angel didn't come talk to me. And I thought, well, how can we go talk to Sandor? Didn't come talk to me. So anyway, so I texted my whole team and I said, listen, tonight we go back to the future. I said, I was lost on the platform. We helped dedicate this building. It's a 10,000-seater building in Budapest. At that time, he was running about 40,000 members, which I found out he was running 70,000 members in the church in Budapest. So I said, tonight we go back to the future. I said, I don't know if they're even in revival, because a lot of churches you go to, you have revival, come back a year or 2 years later, it's finished. Man, I tell you, when I walked out on the Saturday night, Steve, it was like I finished the meetings 20 years ago. I was 37 years old. I walked out at 57 years old. It was like I never left the building. It was like we finished on Friday night and I was there on the Saturday night of the exact same week, except 20 years had expired. It was the most surreal moment. I've never in my life experienced anything like what I experienced that night. Probably one of the great highlights of my whole ministry, because it was like a flashback. All my kids were there with me in that last trip, and my staff, that were with me on this trip had all seen the videos from 98, Budapest ablaze. And here we were 20 years later. It was like nothing had changed. Is this, I was 20 years older, and they were all weeping. The fire of God hit that place. The altar, over 3,000 people came forward. People committed to win souls. And so Pastor Shandor said to me, and this is what is so significant about this church, Faith Church in Budapest, Hungary. That church has a university. They have a seminary. He has a weekly newspaper, secular, that covers the whole nation. They have a 24-hour television news network, the third largest news network of its kind in the country. That church had single-handedly kicked George Soros out of Hungary. They were the ones responsible for kicking Soros out of Hungary. So he said to me, look, I need help because Soros is trying to work to shut my money down and is attacking tithing and everything. So I got up, I spoke for 20 minutes on the tithe for the local church, and the next week God gave them a miracle. $2 million was released and came into the church. They were texting me as I was traveling through Europe, said, listen, the breakthrough came. Thank you for coming. It was like an injection and that we needed. So here's a church, and he doesn't travel that much, a 70,000 member church in Budapest that is shaking the nation. I was so encouraged. I was beyond encouraged. In actual fact, I know this sounds kind of radical, but you know me, Steve, I felt like I wanted to call a lot of people that called themselves an apostle and just say, listen, do you mind just demoting yourself today? I found an apostle. He's right here in Budapest. The most amazing man of God, Shandor Nemeth, and he's shaking his nation for the kingdom of heaven. It's beyond words, and I'm not trying to over-exaggerate, but I mean, when you stand there in the church that seats 10,000, the place is packed on a Saturday night, and he only has one service. He doesn't do multiple meetings. One service, Saturday night, that's his weekly service from 5 o'clock, and it finishes at 11 or whenever. And I said to Pastor Shandor, how did you keep the fire going from 98 till now? Tell me. I want to know. How did you keep it going for 20 years? He said, oh, it's very easy. He said, I took all the kids every year, and I spoke to them destiny, and I put the fire of the Holy Ghost on them. And I took all the youth, and I did the exact same thing. And then I suddenly realized that's why his church is still in revival after all these years. And one of the drivers that was driving me around, he was 24 years old. He said, I was 4 years old in your meetings when you were here in 98. The other driver was 26. He said, I was 6 years old in the meetings. So I begin to see the power and the impact when the Holy Ghost comes with power and how he brands people's hearts for eternity and souls and shaking the nation.
Well, that's exciting. And I remember back in the 1990s when he first appeared on the scene, the first one I remember telling me about him, and we reported on it in Charisma Magazine, was Marilyn Hickey. And the church was phenomenal back in that era. And it is just so exciting to hear what's happened. In fact, as a journalist, I'm saying we need to do another story on this ministry. So I just so appreciate this update. And what I'm going to do is invite you back to do another podcast. There's just so many exciting stories about what God did on your recent trip to Europe. I am so encouraged about what I hear from Rodney. And as I share in some of my conversations with him, we have tried to cover this in Charisma Magazine. And here is an opportunity for us to report more on what God is doing. I'm just so encouraged by the statistics that he shares from the different cities and the fact that there's this great church in Budapest, which, as you heard, I want to do a story about. So thank you for listening to my Strang Report. I'm continuing this in a series. I haven't done this in quite the same way before, but every day this week, Monday through Thursday on the Strang Report, I'll be doing a podcast with Rodney Howard Brown. Last week, I did my in-depth with Stephen Strang with Rodney, a little bit more about his background, his family, how he met his wife, Adonica. You'll want to find that podcast and listen to it, and you'll also want to tune in the next 2 days to hear more about this incredible trip to Europe. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.